How did you come to be interested in working on energy issues?
I have always been interested in different things, but the pathway to energy was a little bit circuitous. I was looking at how hospitals work as a patient. I was very sick as a young person. And I studied medicine and then to figure out how you can help people. But then I studied architecture to figure out how you can rebuild hospitals. And hospitals are some of the most inefficient places and most unhospitable, and yet they're supposed to be for the people who are the weakest in society. So by working on that, I started to think about energy systems, did the master's in architecture to do that, and then realized that a lot of times the best systems are already there, but there's not enough money behind them. And while local people think about energy, and you might think about energy, big business and governments don't necessarily think about energy in the same way, so they were making choices for people. So I worked and set up a bank, and then I set up a renewable energy trading company, and then I set up Repowering, which would then allow people to invest in their own types of energy. So I didn't actually set out to work in energy. I set out to work in well-being and health and ended up having to build a company and work on national policy and international policy to make sure that that could happen. So I got a little bit in an eddy.
That's quite a different pathway than most people that we've spoken to take into energy. It's really interesting. I just wanted to ask you, do you think there is a lack of education when it comes to energy?
I think there is a lack of connection to energy through education. So most education lacks practical experience. So when I engineer systems from simple ergonomics of a handheld thing, I let you know what it does. So it might show, right now it's a nice plastic box that doesn't show you anything going on. Right now your meter for your house is underneath the stairs or might be outside your flat. It's not visible to you. When you use your energy, it doesn't say to you, you are using so much energy right now even though you think this is off. If you make those displays bigger, so I think there's a real disconnect in what we call garbage, or you call it waste. It's landfill. It's unbreakdownable material that is going into the environment. We have a real there's a real cover up in communicating what energy is. So right now, this year, about 20%, 19.5% is coming from renewable energy this year. And when I started working in energy 4 years ago, there was only 3% coming in the UK. But check this out: 90%. Of the investment into the renewable energy, which is still only a small portion of what we use, is coming from other countries. So all of the money is leaving the country. So energy is just one pillar to things. And the education system, if everybody knew, A, majority of the energy is coming from fossil fuel and coal, B, any of the money that you are investing into renewables is not staying in the local communities, it's going out. So right now in London, there's 76 million pounds leaving this borough, is what you're in right now. There's 13 billion pounds leaving London every year to six multinational energy companies. And the 80% of that 20%, which is renewable, is going to multinational corporations that have fiduciary responsibility as their sole thing that they do to their shareholders. That's the shortest amount of time and the highest amount of return. So when you educate people, they need to know the full system. And there is none of this is being spoken about, and yet it's all in policy, it's all clearly stated, and it's on a trajectory for less good, less informative, less open and transparency.
So why do you think that is?
Because I think it's a fundamental lack of understanding of what capitalism is. Right now we have a system where thing is, people say you need a free market where you can buy and sell things and people can work on stuff, but there is already built-in processes. So you can talk about individuals have made a choice to not price carbon in the way it should be. They did not price travel the way it should be. They did not price housing blocks being built in a way that is renewable or sustainable. Because it's financially short-term. So I would say it's short-termism, and it's a lack of clarity on what are the outputs of this of the world we're building. So the people who are building it know. The people who are using it, which is the majority of people, don't know. So I think it's lack of transparency and
That's really interesting.
My question to you is, in terms of renewable energy, what is the future of that? What source do you think for London, for UK, for internationally, what is the source of energy that we will all be using?
I have a feeling that the thing that we'll all be using when in 20 years when you guys are having kids and they're like 15, 16 years old, the solar panels will be like fossil fuel. We'll have come up with a new type of energy that comes from, you wear a suit which generates enough energy. I don't know, you have the cellular mass. Doesn't matter. The point is that right now, the best technology that we know and can use are things like solar, they're things like combined heat and power, there are things like solar thermal, there are wind turbines. That's what we can do right now. We have to be flexible and open to the new things that are coming. I might be new and innovative right now and invest all my time and energy into getting communities to invest into renewable energy. And in 10, 15 years, there might be a completely new type of thing. And you have to be open and willing to move to that. And that when they set up those first oil fields and they first set up the... They thought they were saving the world. When they mechanized the process and brought machines into to build these cars and build the roads, they thought they were saving people. They were really helping people. And they really did help the people that were close to them. Now we have to be open to the idea that this system right now can be solved with certain things we have and the solution can be brought. But that always is in flux. And there always has to be an iterative process where you ask a question, I give an answer, you ask a question, because there's no set answer. If I told you solar panels are the answer, I would be wrong. It's wrong to just do that. It's wrong to just say, this is it, and this is it for good. The next technology is what we need to have.
I guess because there's a panic, moral panic around everywhere. That's why people are worried, and they just want that definite answer to know, that's it, that's what's going to save us. We're all going to be okay now. But I can understand why you're saying that.
You know, we also heard, when you're talking about solar panels, we heard this analogy that someone said that if you think of the Sahara Desert like a Mars bar, mm-hmm. and you were to place like a solar power farm the size of a stamp on that Mars bar, you could power the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, it's true. I mean, 25 square miles in Nevada would pretty much sustain America. There's enough wind off the coast of the UK to provide all of our net energy needs as well as 70% of Europe's. There are technologies there that are ready to go. We don't, you know, when you talk about Trident being, you know, 700 billion or whatever it is, yeah, we could solve all the energy needs. You could eradicate poverty. You could deal with full food issues very quickly. It's about dealing with these issues in a way that's clear and transparent. And no one wants to because there's a lot of money to be made. It's short-term thinking. It's greed. It's not crazy. You can use whatever you want, any analogy you want, a donut, a cake, whatever it is. But the truth is all of our energy needs. And then the biggest thing is that if you just reduced consumption, there would be a huge thing. If you change the way we build, I mean, meat, 14% of the emissions. And CO2 isn't the worst thing. There's like methane and all these other things. Meat's 14%. Flying's 4% of global emissions. Concrete is 12%. Stop walking on roads. You know, I mean, there's lots of things you could do, but it's just, or you can change the system. There's other ways of making concrete, other ways of of doing everything. So you can reduce in many ways, but saying there's one answer is I was studying medicine, and I was working in a doctor's office, and about 72% of the people who came in did not want to change their behavior. They wanted you to prescribe them a pill or a tablet that they could take to not have to change their behavior. And that is fundamentally the problem. It's not people's fault. It's not people's fault. But the point is that the human nature is a very interesting one. So when you and I'm not saying it's their fault. They're not. The system builders and system designers are thinking that way. I don't want to change this because I got elected by the guys who did this and
money.
Oh, my kids need to go to school, and if I don't have the same size, and then they're thinking the same way as the person who's going, I've got a bunion right on my foot, and I don't want to have to deal with it. I want, can you give me a stiff, special type of shoe? I don't want to have to learn. I don't want to have to like learn how to walk again with a, you know, the physiotherapist. It's like, well, there's ways of doing it, and we can. So the systems that Repowering set up, which is in London, it's the inner city community on renewable energy projects. That's about giving people, I don't really care about solar panels. What we do is we do 40-week internships that are paid for young people. We do 60 weeks of mentoring for adults that live on the state so they can own and run their power station. It's all about allowing people to understand that they have a choice in doing things and they can be involved to do that. And we teach people how to make solar panels, how to do the engineering, how to get involved in all those different ways. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just using renewables the renewables that are the best for right now as a catalyst to empower local people.
Okay. Do you think there's, because we know now everyone's talking about it, but do you think that people's interests are peaking when it comes to stuff like this?
Yeah, I think that people are keen. I actually credit shows like Big Brother for this idea that we can all vote. Like there's more people doing that than there are voting for candidates. Because there's a common theme, right? So now, effectively, we need to be thinking about the fact that people do want to get engaged. They just feel that they don't have a say. When they do have a say, and when everybody says, yes, call in, so-and-so will win, you know, it changes things. So I think there's a peak in interest that people can change the system. There's a peak in interest that people can enable their own communities to be in a better space, and everybody's getting sick. I mean, it's cancer, but never, I've seen so much cancer, people are getting sick all the time, this and that, and Crohn's disease, this and that. And it's all really about the environmental influx, like all of the, there's 600 new chemicals that have never existed before in an average household. You know, there's huge amount of rises in cancer and all different types of things. People are going, oh, well, what is it? Oh, it's your genes, oh, it's this, that. No, it's the environment that you're living in, and it's having a massive impact. So people are saying, well, if I'm dying from this, the Earth will be fine if we died. Just like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that after the bombs there, the environment came back and it was dying. People couldn't live there, right? So the Earth has existed for millions of years, and if we all global ice caps melt and there's massive destruction, there'll be people losing their space, but there won't be an Earth that's losing its space. The Earth will just remake itself and do things.
I'm interested in this question. So what sort of legacy would you like to leave for future generations?
devolved power to localities. So that means, like, say you live on a housing estate in Brixton, and you know how the energy that you works, how let's say you grow the food in that area, and the waste it makes, and you can put it into a biodigester, and it creates energy and gas, and then you know that there's a deep core sink underneath the whole thing that transfers energy in the winter, and you have a real environmental knowledge of that, that people can get jobs doing that, and they're allowed and integrated into that process, that they can see how the energy flows work for their state, and they can see how that works in their local area. So that's energy, it's waste, it's everything, it's all the inputs and the outputs. So people are aware of that. My legacy for the country that we've worked with and the communities that we've worked with would be that local people are engaged and enabled to do that. So they understand their actions on the earth, but also the earth's actions on them. So the environment, the seasons, the sun, the wind, it creates energy, all that you need. You don't need to pull, the dumbest thing in the world is to take fossil fuel out of the ground. Oil, it makes plastic. We need to not, it's like if I gave you a wool jumper and I said, you can be warm for about 30 seconds and smell horrible when this burns, or you can wear it for like 30 years. You know, this jumper would be fine. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's the mentality. You're using this incredible material and burning it.
Yeah.
It's obscene.
Yeah. Our last question is, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I'm optimistic about thinking about the future of energy in the sense that there is a viable, real direction to go. There are a lot of people who are part of a very big system which is moving in one direction. and they don't feel that they can even stop it. But change happens slowly until it happens exponentially. Like everybody's like, oh, I want it to change. And then all of a sudden it goes boom. And then they're in a phase change and they're like, oh, I want it to stay the same. I want it to stay the same. So I think that I'm actually realistic in saying that there's a lot of goodwill and energy going into changing this current system, and it will flip. The thing is that when it does, we need to be ready to A, not hold on to whatever it is we change it into, and B, accept this, make sure that it's transparent and that it's not just us energy system, but that it includes social responsibility and financial responsibility, which means ingraining that into local communities. So, and when it means environmental, it means like that the systems have no negative impact. But when you let local people involved into the energy systems, like whether the jobs and things like that, there's plenty of jobs in energy that aren't necessarily to do with engineering. You know, there's communicating it on Twitter, there's telling the story, there's cleaning them, there's, you know, there's using the energy, there's all different ways of communicating that. So I think we are in a very pivotal moment, and there is cause to be optimistic or pessimistic. But if you're realistic, you recognize that there is a lot of people working in the right direction.